The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to WeAreTechnology.com's User-Friendly 2.0 with host Bill Sickens, Technology Architect.
And this is User-Friendly 2.0. Welcome to the show. We've got a great show for you this week. Joining us is going to be Bill Snodgrass with a review on a game. Jeremy and Gretchen are here. G has the week off, so we'll be hearing from him next week. We've got some live interviews. And with no further ado, on to the news.
It is the 10th anniversary of the iPad.
Well, happy birthday, iPad.
Woohoo!
You know, it's interesting to think that this has been around. I don't know if that's a long time or a short time. It depends on how you look at it. And the reality is tablet computers were nothing new when the iPad came out. They were around, but they weren't really a standard. So different runs ran different software. They weren't always compatible with each other, and there wasn't a lot available that they could do. It was unusual. And Gretchen, I know you had an early version of a tablet.
Oh, yeah. It was this weird Chinese knockoff thing that was, I don't know, less than adequate.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think I probably would have been happier with the iPad.
Yeah, this was pre-iPad, pre-Android, you know. And one of the things that Apple did with this when they came out was kind of a way to standardize everything. You had a central place to get your apps. You know, for the most part, that they're probably okay. That's not 100% guarantee, but it's better than just random stuff from wherever. And what it really did was create a system whereby this product could be used in a commercial and in a personal environment. You started to have games. Android came out with their tablet about a year later. And it's something that really did change the computing market and something that we all use still to this day. Based on the idea of a smartphone, which had come out about 3 years earlier, you now have this bigger touchscreen that could really do at that time just as much as a computer for the most part.
Scotland is going to hit 100% renewable energy this year.
Yeah, this is really cool, I think. You know, to look at the different providers and different things that are going on, there's a lot of countries that are talking about renewable energy and rolling it out and doing different things like that. But Scotland now, granted, is a little smaller country, but they are on track to hit 100% this year where all of their energy comes from renewable resources. I think
that's
this is really
impressive.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's fantastic. I wish we could do that.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, you know, even for our own show and stuff, we have wind energy offsets. We do a lot of stuff with renewable energy, but we're still far, far as a country from having 100% of not using fossil fuels or nuclear, which is what this really means. So it is possible. It's just a matter of getting there.
Okay. Facebook's Clear History tool. Now available to everyone, and I have no idea what that is. So yeah. Can you explain that?
This is a good question. I had to do a little research on this myself. I had heard about this about 2 years ago and then didn't hear anything afterwards. And it turns out this is something that Facebook has been talking about for a while, but it's been hit with a number of delays and things like that. And they finally are getting it rolled out. It initially rolled out in 3 countries, and then it was very problematic. Now, the idea with this is so that you can figure out who is accessing your Facebook data, third-party apps, all of that kind of stuff, to be able to go in there, figure out what's going on, kind of have some medium of control over it so that you can limit or restrict the use. Now, you've always been able to go in and cut off third-party apps, but this tool allows you to go in and be able to deal with that and then clear out your history, as the name says. So I think this is a good thing to have. You know, Google has had a very similar tool at myactivity.google.com, where you can go in and clear the activity there. Now we have the option on Facebook, just a step towards some kind of piracy or piracy privacy. I don't know. Maybe that was a Freudian slip.
Maybe
on
it's
the
to
internet.
Keep the pirates away.
Yeah, keep the pirates and the privacy. What do we have next?
The coronavirus threat is going to hit iPhone 9 production and the entire electronics industry.
So this is something interesting to think about. The Centers for Disease Control have said that the spread of the coronavirus that they're having problems with in China is very low here. There is a risk of exposure, but it's considered to be minimal. But what they're talking about here is where this can disrupt other industries. And in this particular case, China in general is a huge manufacturing hub for electronics.
Yeah.
And the whole country right now is in panic mode, and it makes sense that they are dealing with trying to get this under control and not having a full-fledged epidemic on their hands. But it's affecting the workforce, and it's affecting the ability to produce electronics. And as a direct result, iPhone 9, as they call it, is going to be the first test of this to see how it's dealt with, if it is. But I think that we could see a lot of disruption in the supply chain because so much of our components comes out of China that having them shut down and not be able to produce some of these things will have a ripple effect that we're going to see kind of everywhere else.
Yeah. Okay. Waymo's self-driving vans will carry UPS packages in Phoenix?
So what do you think of the idea of self-driving vans and autonomous delivery of your packages?
Well, where is it? Well, how is it going to get the package out of the van and to my doorstep safely?
That's a very good question. And I'm sure we will see plenty of videos of
it. Are we going to see C-3PO jumping out of the van or AP-5?
You know? I was going to say with the way I've seen packages delivered before, they're just going to throw it.
Oh, yeah. Okay. It's going to be a catapult
system. It's just going to be a catapult system. I don't know. I have no comment on that other than I've seen some videos like everybody else has online about this. You know, as far as the delivery and all that goes concerned, it's not completely without human interaction, I guess would be the best way to put it. There will still be a human on board monitoring things. As far as the actual delivery from the van to the doorstep, they're going to have some creative ways to deal with that. And I'm sure we're going to see some videos on how that'll be rolled out.
You know, they're also going to need guards.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that. Well, you know, porch pirates is already a problem. Well, now, again, we're not taking completely away the human interaction. I mean, there's still a person there that could conceivably see and report something, but you won't have you won't have that piece of the person actually at the door anymore. So
weird.
I don't know. I still have yet to see drone delivery of packages. I mean, this seems like a more reasonable first step, I think.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Taking away the human component doesn't always seem like a good thing. But on the same token, I've been reading some reports that we are at maximum capacity now for package delivery in this country. So many people are ordering online now that it's actually maxing out the systems. So the idea of bringing something that would be a little more automated in from that standpoint does kind of make sense, as long as it works properly and there isn't anything too bizarre going on. I mean, what could possibly go wrong, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. The idea of self-delivery and automatic delivery and all type of these things, I think we're going to have to see where they're going to have to get some of those bugs worked out. But it's going to be interesting to see how that goes. But we've got an interesting show for you today. We're going to be covering some interviews live from the show of the Wizard World Comic Con. It was in Portland, held last weekend. You guys like it? Hate it?
It was fun. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Compared to last year?
A lot better than last year.
It was better than last year.
Yeah. And I agree with that. Although to be credible on this, last year we did have that massive snowstorm that took you guys 3 days to get home.
Yeah.
So well, yeah. I think that definitely impacted their attendance. We had great weather this year. The temperature was nice. It wasn't wet out, which for Portland's kind of a big deal. So I don't know. We had a lot of fun with it. Saw some unique things. They brought back some stuff last year, like the climbing wall or the climbing pyramid or whatever that was. And a few things.
I like the fact that they put the stars in the middle and they weren't like off in the North 40.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. It felt more like everything was pulled together, and having that was kind of cool. The other thing was the esports booth this year. And that was kind of a lot of fun. This is something that's becoming a much bigger deal. We're seeing that a lot out there. For anybody not familiar with it, esports is video games like in a competition type environment. You can actually win a lot of money on that. And there are some people that are very skilled and absolutely amazing with what they can and can't do in video games. And I don't know. I've never gotten quite to that point myself. I enjoy playing games, but I don't know. I don't think I would be able to compete. But on that topic today, we're also going to have Bill Snodgrass on, who's going to be reviewing a Starfinder game. Now, I'm not sure if this is a video or a tabletop game, but I'm sure he will tell us exactly what it is and what he thought of it. And it's good to have him back. And the other thing we're talking about today is collectibles and collections. And you guys have some of these things.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Just a bit.
Yeah, I think a lot of these things.
Whenever you do costuming, we kind of have a collection of those too, unfortunately.
Yes.
Kind
of. And how many lightsabers do you guys have?
Oh, more than we can count at the moment.
Yes. You know, we all start these things with, we do have a problem. You know, at the end of the day, a lot of this stuff's a lot of fun, but you do have to move it, protect it, insure it, know what you've got and that type of thing. So we're going to talk a little bit about this, some of the different type of collections, some of the different things, and some of the ways that you can protect your stuff. So send us your questions and send us your comments. Our phone number is 503-766-6264. Give us a call, leave a message on the voicemail, and we will call you back and possibly put you on the show or at least use your topic here. Or send us your questions on social media, one user-friendly on Facebook and Twitter. This is User-Friendly 2.0. We'll be back after the break. Welcome back. This is User-Friendly 2.0. Well, we got to our first Comic-Con this weekend.
Yes, indeed.
It was fun.
So it actually was a lot of fun. It was nice not having giant snowstorms or anything else. In fact, the weather was actually very pleasant, which made it a lot easier. And we got to go as wizards this year. And guys, I think the costumes came out great.
Yeah, they were kind of fun, weren't they?
Yeah, for a quick thing, it was great.
So, and I don't know, it didn't look that quick. I mean, we got featured on one of the local news stations here in Portland. And Jeremy, you kind of got to narrate the whole thing, so that was fun.
Well, you know, when they ask, you got to do something.
So, and I think the best way to talk about this is let's actually go live to the floor where we recorded. And we're going to be us talking about what we thought of the event. This was taken on Sunday. And was the time after we had a chance to look at things. So with no further ado, here we go, Wizard World Portland 2020. Welcome back. This is Bill Sickens. We are recording live here at the Portland Wizard World Comic-Con on Sunday, where we've had a really good day so far.
Yeah, and we're taking our lunch break, and so it's like the perfect time to sit down and hash over everything that we've seen and done.
So one of the things that happened that's really cool is when we were here Friday night, I entered a raffle with Red Castle Games, and they were giving away mats and bags and different things like that, and I never win anything, but what happened?
Well, you won the playmat, and it's signed by the artist.
Yeah, which is really cool. I love stuff like this. I love art. And to have something that's actually autographed is really cool.
And we posted it on our Twitter feed. It's this really cool dragon, and there's a castle in the background, and a bridge, and a keep. It is just, like, really neat.
And that's at One User Friendly. And, you know, this convention is smaller. Now, we were here last year, and anybody that listened to the show last year knows that it was a little bit of a bummer, and it wasn't the convention, it was the snowstorm that seemed to stop everybody from coming. But this year we don't have that. It's actually really comfortable outside. They've been predicting rain, but it's been dry and in the 50s, so that has brought everyone out. And there's some really cool cosplays this year. Right now I'm looking at two Mandalorians. Yep, that's them.
There was also a really cool looking guy dressed as Snape.
Yep.
Yeah, nice.
Is it Snape or Snipe?
Snape.
Snape, okay.
We're not on a snipe hunt. We're on a snape hunt.
Okay. I can never remember that for some reason. But no, but it's kind of cool to see what's around. I wouldn't say it's terribly crowded. Of course, it's Sunday.
Yeah.
But
there's a lot of families here with their little ones, you know, and their little ones are all dressed up as their favorite heroes. So that's really cool.
No, it was actually a lot of fun. And coming in this morning, we were coming here on the train. And, you know, as a cast, we always try to use public transit where we can. But the train driver was enjoying our costumes, our wizard costumes. If you haven't seen them, check that out on our social media. We had some great things. You guys made them, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So
mine is not made. Mine's pieced together from various different store-bought things. Because remember, we took like a week to decide, oh, we're going to do wizards. And then we just quickly slapped what we could together. And we made robes for you and for Jeremy.
Now, why are we doing wizards?
because it's Wizard World.
Right. Yeah.
It was just a dumb idea, but it says Wizard World.
Yeah. No, I think it's actually a really cool idea.
And we wanted to do something different, something fun. We have some ideas upcoming that we would like to do D&D style characters.
Right, right.
And well, you know, wizards, they're part of D&D?
They're very much a part of D&D. And I'm going to actually have to try out this game, Matt, at least once. Then I'm going to hang it on the wall. But
yeah, that is really pretty.
It's huge.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's kind of fun. It's really cool to see what's going on around here, too. We're seeing some tech. Right from where we're sitting, there's a virtual reality booth that has 9 dimensions. And you talk to them.
Yeah, it's they do. It's this little egg thing. So you sit in a little egg-shaped chair. And it's got tilt and roll and can do all these things. It blows air on you, so it can simulate a lot of things. But apparently, we haven't tried it yet, so apparently it can go. There's one that's like you're on a pendulum between two buildings, and it does go upside down, and the guy says it feels like you're upside down. So
right after lunch might not be the best time to try that. No. But we'll see if we can give it a go. All right, we're going to check things out a little bit more, and we'll be back.
Well, it was a lot of fun to do that, and I actually won something. I never win anything. It was this cool gaming mat done by an artist who works for Wizards of the Coast and was commissioned by a company called Red Castle Games. Do I have that right?
Yep.
Yeah.
So what we were able to do was get an interview with them. They do some tabletop gaming and have a store, and then it's set up where you can come in and just try things out and have a very unique rent-before-you-buy-it policy on their games. Here they are, Red Castle Games.
Welcome back. This is User Friendly 2.0. We are live here at the Portland Wizard World Comic Con with Matt from Red Castle Games. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
So tell us a little bit about what you're doing here.
Well, we've got our part of our game library from our store, and people can come in, check out a game for free, grab an open table, and start playing.
And so these are tabletop games?
We have a variety of different games. We've got Magic Decks we've been giving out, which is a card game. We have some cooperative card games. We have tabletop miniatures games. It's a lot of different things that can suit many different play styles.
Okay, so to give a comparison our listeners will understand, is this like Dungeons & Dragons? Or?
Well, actually, I'm glad you said that. We are running free Dungeons & Dragons demos all day. We've run several, so we have a professional Dungeon Master here on staff, and they're for beginners, so they get all the supplies, dice and character sheets in about an hour and a half. These games here are board games, so we have interactive board games. Some are cooperative, where everybody at the table plays together. They're doing that right now over at this table. It's called Just One. Okay. Won the German Game of the Year Awards. Fabulous. And others are a bit more complex and head-to-head type of games. Maybe like Dominion, which is a deck-building game, or Code Names, things like that.
Where is your store?
Our store is located on 64th and Foster.
Here in Portland?
We're here in Portland. We've been actually in Portland, Southeast Portland, for 10 years. We're celebrating our 10-year anniversary in March. And actually, we're just moving. So we're moving up the street near the Mercado, which is on 72nd and Foster. There's a brand new building there. And we're opening up a game cafe. So we'll have beer, wine, espresso, private gaming rooms. It's going to be pretty
exciting. This sounds like something we're going to have to check
out. Absolutely.
Yeah, it sounds like fun.
I mean, that sounds great. So, you know what? Keep us in touch and let us know when you open.
Absolutely.
We can take a look at that.
And yeah, we're looking at opening up at about mid-February to the end of March, so very soon now.
So in about 6 weeks?
Yep.
So give or take? Okay, cool. No, that's great. That's great. So what's your website?
Redcastlegames.com.
Okay, redcastlegames.com. And I can speak to the fact that there are games and other things, too. I won this great gaming mat, which we're going to put a picture of online. And tell us a little bit about this. I think you said the artist worked for Wizards of the Coast?
Yeah, is a local artist, and it does work for Wizards of the Coast. We commissioned this just for our store, the Red Castle, and that's been signed by the artist.
And who is the artist?
Doug Schumann.
Doug Schumann? Okay, cool. Great. Cool. All right, anything else you want to tell us?
Well, I can say what we brought here was a sample of our game library, which has hundreds of titles. Customers can come in and check out a game and play in the store at no charge. It's free. And if they want to take it home, it's just $5 for a week. And if they like the game, that $5 can go towards a purchase.
So you can kind of like rent a game and see if it works out.
You can test drive a game, and you can test drive as many as you want in the store. We always have a lot of board game events going on. You can meet up with people. Or you take it home and play at the kitchen table. And if you think, hey, this is for us, you bring it back. You're like, I want to get it. We apply the rental fee to the charge again.
Well, that sounds great. Well, Matt, thank you. And good luck with your opening.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
We'll be back after the break.
You know, it's always a lot of fun to see these small businesses and kind of what they can come up with. And I've never seen or heard of a rent before you can buy game before, but I think that's a really good idea. And speaking of such things, really quickly, Jeremy, you bought a game.
Yes, I did. It's called Runes and Regulations. It's a game of suburban sorcery. Should be a lot of fun.
We'll have to play that and talk about that a little bit more. I feel like I have that every time I walk out of the garage. Suburban Sorcery. Sounds good. This is User-Friendly 2.0. We'll be back after the break. Welcome back. This is User-Friendly 2.0. Joining me now is our game editor and producer, Bill Snodgrass, who is going to be talking about a new Starfinder game. Bill, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks. First off, it's not a new game. Starfinder, of course, being a tabletop RPG put out by Paizo, has been around for a bit. What they did send me, though, is the new Character Operations Manual Supplement. And what this has is, right off the bat, 7 new backgrounds for your characters, 3 new classes to try out. I'll get to those in a second, because I want to talk about the new abilities, traits, and class options that they brought in, too. Now, this covers all of the creatures and races in the core rulebook, including the legacy ones, the gnomes, the dwarves, the elves, everything like that that you remember from other games. Big one that I noticed that caught my eye right off the bat, granted it is the first letter in the alphabet A, is the android's new customizable trait, which allows them to take traits from other races, thus to simulate who, you know, probably constructed your character, such as, say, dwarves made your character, so you get to take certain traits that the dwarves have, such as their dark vision. See, I've normally just been changing the aesthetic of my characters. Now I get to actually customize my android by the rules. So, getting on to the classes, which is probably going to be the big one for a lot of people. First up, we got the Biohacker. Now, if you played Pathfinder or Dungeons & Dragons, probably used to an alchemist, you know, a little bit of mutagens and things like that. This is the same thing, but with a very strong Mad Doctor twist. So, now, not literally, kids, but if you in character want to stab your other party members with a syringe and make them into some kind of hulking monstrosity or awesomeness, you know, make them better, faster, stronger, whatever, now's your chance. That's pretty much the flavoring for this character, is getting to do that. Pretty heavy support character. Next up, we have the Vanguard. Probably the simplest one, but a lot of options there. Basically, Space Monk. You get to use the entropy of the universe instead of ki, as used in other ones. Basically, make yourself hit harder, for those of you who have been looking for that. And lastly, we got the Witch Warper. This is a wizard, basically, except if you're the kind who likes to do battlefield and area control, this is going to be your thing, because this is all about battlefield control. Literally, 100 feet plus your character level is affected. When right off the bat, you can waste a first level spell slot to change things into, change the battlefield literally into difficult terrain or whatever. This is great if you are a big support player and looking for battlefield control, and you have a group that's very heavy on tactical combat. This is going to be right up your alley. We have a bunch of new options for the existing classes. You know, your envoys, your operatives, your soldiers, Solarians, all of that. Got new expansions for that. There are new 10 new class archetypes to reflect ideas from the past and incorporate the new classes. So I haven't really had a chance to play with archetypes too much because I just, my characters haven't aligned with them. I really like where their flavoring and stuff is going, and I think a lot of people are going to like the new ones. Also got 70 or over 70 new feats, not just less. We have over 70 new feats to be added in. Personal note, I always worry there's too many feats, but I know a lot of players who really like to have a lot of extra options. We have new equipment, always a great thing. You know, armor came out, gave us a ton of new stuff. This continues with a bunch more, including shields. So if you want a sword and board or do a full riot where you're running behind a shield or the shoddy or something, this is the options for you. We have a ton of new spells because, of course, we have the Witch Warper and the Biohacker. Not so much the Biohacker, but the Witch Warper has new spells. And, of course, there's new spells for everybody else, too, mystics, things like that. New starship crew jobs. Say you have a big party and you needed 2 extras. Well, now you got the chief mate, which is, if you like the old Star Trek, you get to play Scotty. If you are Star Wars, I guess you're playing Chewbacca because he was always fixing the Millennium Falcon. You also have the magic officer because, you know, magic's a thing and why not have a magic officer? They also gave you rules for open crew actions, which is, you know, I don't need to be shooting right now because the ship's on fire and I need to handle that. Or minor crew actions, which is stuff that you can have the computer do, say, because you have too few people on your group. Another big addition has been downtown activities because, you know, we can't always be adventuring all the time. Anyway, once again, this is the Starfinder Character Operations Manual. And till next time, keep gaming.
This is User-Friendly 2.0. We'll be back after the break. Welcome back. This is User-Friendly 2.0. Great show today, guys, so far.
Yeah.
And I know today we're going to be talking about collectibles. This is a question, a number of different topics to do with that that have come up. And send us your questions. That's how we program our show, 503-766-6264. One User-Friendly on Facebook and Twitter. And that being said, go ahead and give us a start here, Gretchen. What are we talking about with collectibles?
Well, you know, when you go to a Comic-Con and some of these other events, there's always vendors out there with their artwork or, you know, just items like action figures, artwork, dice.
Legos.
Yeah. And the thing is we haven't really discussed anything about the collectibles that are in pop culture. And matter of fact, this topic is enormous. You even have a mother that collects. Jeremy has a collection of comic books, action figures of all kinds of different ranges. I mean, nice. You can collect by franchise or by
actually the style of whatever it is.
Yeah. And we have another friend who collects artwork. So and we have a collection of lightsabers, which started out from the fact that we collected swords and daggers from once doing Ren Fair. So, Bill, do you have any collections?
Oh, yeah, a few too many. And every time I move, people complain to me about them just because it's so much. But no, I understand exactly what you're saying. There's a lot of things that I have an autograph collection. I also have a lot of family antiques and like to collect things like sterling silver. My address is 123 Main Street. And the alarm code is, no, I'm kidding. But the bottom line of it is yeah, there are a number of these things out there. At one time, I used to collect vintage video games like the Atari and all of that type of thing. And I know exactly what you're talking about. In pop culture, you have some very specific things. And these type of collections actually have two sides of the coin. Number one, they can be worth a lot of money. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. But the other side is there's a lot of value. It's something that builds a little bit of who you are and what you are and what you like. And some of these things, there's, you know, made for mass audiences, but other things, there's some very unique items that there aren't a lot of them out there. And I know from that standpoint, you know, you can get some really, really cool things. I know that as a, for example, on my autograph collection, when I got the autographs, they're either people I've worked with or met or that type of a thing. And I would say that 2/3 of them have passed away now. I couldn't get them again. And if I went on eBay and ordered one, it'd be expensive. But the other side of it is it wouldn't be the same thing as the one that I got in person.
Yeah, that I think would mean more.
And that's one of those things about going to the Comic-Cons that always have celebrities. And you can always buy an autograph and get a photo and, you know, add to your collection or
from your favorite artist.
Yeah.
I've also noticed recently I'm seeing more and more vendors and artists or craftsmen selling Dungeons and Dragons dice, these role-playing dice, and they're getting prettier and prettier as the time goes on. And it's kind of like this thing where you've got to have more. You've got to have the really small ones. You've got to have the metal ones. You've got to have the ones that sparkle.
You got to have ones that are made out of wood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, and I know some. You're going to get weird dice. Get weird dice, but, you know, make sure you like them.
Well, and it's enough that there was actually an entire booth and a big booth at the Comic-Con in San Diego that just sold dice.
Yeah, that was Chessex. They manufacture dice. That's what they do. They sell dice, and it's just what they had on display there. I have that photo. It's like, wow.
Yeah, so, Jeremy, what are some of the things you collect? I mean, you kind of gave us a 10,000-foot view.
Oh, well, I haven't collected comic books in a long time, but I do have a fairly good sized collection. I've got lightsabers, action figures. There's some stuffed animal things, signed art.
Mm-hmm.
I've got some cool, really cool little tiny knickknacks that are not just like a little block of something, but itty bitty toy cars and little game figures that aren't manufactured anymore.
And then there's the focus on you used to collect a lot of Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. Spider-Man, when we first met, that was his favorite superhero. And then there's a lot of Boba Fett, which I also like Boba Fett and the Mandalorians and the Star Wars stuff. So we have a lot of those too.
Yeah, I know. It's amazing how these things sneak up on you too, because recently I've started reviewing movies and we've had movie reviews on the show for a while. But one of the things you get when you go to the press screenings are these movie posters. So all of a sudden I'm ended up with this huge collection of movie posters to an extent that I think I'm going to need to build more walls in my house because I'm running out of wall space.
Yeah, I kind of know the feeling because we've got a lot of artwork as well.
Mm-hmm. We need more walls.
You need more walls.
I guess we're going to start papering the ceiling.
I know everybody's going for open concept now, but I need to build a wall around my kitchen just to have a place to put the artwork and posters.
Yeah. So I'm kind of curious, what do you think our viewers like to collect? What do you think they like to hear about? I'd like to know.
Going by some of the questions we've gotten, there's all kinds of things out there. One of the more unique ones were some Star Wars screen used collectibles, that type of thing, and different.
Oh wow,
franchises. That's the expensive stuff.
Yeah, expensive different shows. I know somebody that has the beekeeper suit from the episode of Lucifer that came out last season. You know, all of these kind of things, which are just unique, and you're not going to be able to get them again, and people have them and really enjoy them. And you know, this is actually another topic because there is a certain amount of value. And like an older car, if something gets lost or wrecked, you're not going to necessarily get what you paid for them. But there actually are ways to insure all of this stuff. And a collectible insurance policy, there's a number of providers out there. You want to do some research if you go that route. And I found that one of the very important things to have, not just for the insurance, but just for knowing what's in inventory, is an inventory. And a couple of years ago, I was asked to do that. So I had to sit down and I just got at that time an Excel spreadsheet, and you can use any kind of a spreadsheet. Google Sheets now is free, where you actually can take a picture of each item, put in a description, and then you have a list of all the things you have. So if you do suffer a loss, there's at least a way to get some of the cash back out of it, but you never get the pleasure back of being able to collect and acquire these things.
No, and some of the stuff that I have can't be replaced.
And some of it has memories attached, like you went to a great event or saw something really wonderful with friends.
Yeah.
No, I think that's a big part of it. And, you know, for me, a lot of the stuff that's in the collection, I've got some autographed books and that type of thing, too. And that's not something you can easily put on the wall. It sits on a shelf. But it's definitely something that has the memory of when I got it, how I got it, who I was with, all that type of stuff. Yeah. Well, send us your questions on your collectibles. Let us know what you like to collect. This is User-Friendly 2.0. We'll be back after the break. Welcome back. This is User-Friendly 2.0. Great show this week, guys.
Yeah.
You know, I love doing the Comic-Cons. It's a lot of fun. We actually got a lot of things scheduled this year, not just Comic-Cons, but tech shows. I think we're going to the Gaming Expo. I know that we have the Emerald City Comic-Con coming up. And I've also heard that we might be covering the UFO Festival in Oregon.
Oh, no.
So I'm looking forward to that.
That ought to be fun.
It's so different.
Yep. I just, you know, we're going to have to dress up for that. I don't know if I'm going to dress up as an alien or maybe something from Star Trek. We'll have to figure that out.
Yeah, that'll be cool.
Anyway, getting to past episodes of the shows, we've gotten some questions about that. So I just want to take a minute and talk about how you get to that and how you submit your questions. We cover this to some extent usually every week. But there is a podcast. There's two places to get to it. The last two seasons, what are User-Friendly 2.0, can be gotten to at the radio station at our home station in Portland, Oregon, which is theanswerportland.com. Click on podcasts and User-Friendly 2.0. The other place is our website, userfriendlyshow.com, and there's an archive of everything there. And on these places, you can also go on to submit questions and that type of a thing. The other thing is we are on Captivate.fm. Now, this is a distribution platform to where you can get all of our episodes from the reboot of 2.0, as well as the 5 years of the original user-friendly. And everything's out there in chronological order. There's some specials and different things like that that goes back to the very beginning of all this, which started in that radio station in the mall a number of years ago. You guys remember that?
Mm-hmm. I'll never forget that.
You know, it has been such a pleasure to be able to be in the studios and the professional environment that we have up here. And when we started, you know, it was everybody was doing their best. But if you don't have a door on your studio, you do tend to get outside noise.
Yep.
And that was a lot of fun. So go ahead and play season one and listen for the drilling. And the harmonica was one of the more interesting things. What else was there?
Well, there was the children screaming outside.
And somebody pounding a sign, hanging a sign up.
Yeah.
These were all different things. But, you know, just it's just part of the history, you know, and that type of thing. One of the other things, too, that you can check out is our Tech Wednesday, which is both a blog and a segment that's on air. And what we do is pick up one of the topics that's out there. There are always many to choose from. Usually it's the latest hack. This week we were talking about the 10th anniversary of the iPad, which is kind of amazing that it's already been that long.
Yeah.
You know, and the blog posts that are out there go along with whatever that item is for the week. And what I encourage everybody to do is check it out and then send us your questions, because we can go more in depth on these topics when we air on Saturday.
Indeed. Yeah.
Of course.
So what are you guys looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to Emerald City. Yeah.
Emerald City.
It's going to be fun.
That's going to be our next
one. I keep hoping that my Mandalorian costume will be done. And then I'm wondering, oh gosh, if I get it done, will we be able to actually bring it with us? Because it's kind of bulky.
Well, we're going to find out, and we'll let you know about it in future weeks. This is User Friendly 2.0, keeping you safe on the cutting edge.
User Friendly 2.0 is copyright 2020 User Friendly Media Group, Inc. The views and opinions expressed in this show are those of the host and not necessarily User Friendly Media Group, Inc. or this station. Music licensing by BMI. Hosting provided by WeAreTechnology.com. Podcast available at TheAnswerPortland.com or UserFriendlyShow.com.